Once again this morning, you'll find in your bulletin, among the inserts, an outline of teaching notes, and I would invite you to follow along as we go through this message together and to fill in and make notes where you feel God is calling you to do that. A couple of weeks ago at the World Methodist Conference in Houston, Betsy and I had the opportunity to hear some magnificent preachers. And one of them was a United Methodist pastor from Wisconsin whose name is Grace Imathew. Grace grew up in Kenya, and she tells a story that her father told her when she was a small child. The story is called Our Elephant. And it's a simple tale of a man who goes hunting in the forest and shoots an elephant with his bow and arrow. And he's so glad. Imagine the meat. He won't have to hunt for months on end. But there remains this one daunting task of dragging the elephant back to his hut. Determined, he grabs the animal by one leg and pulls. But the animal won't budge. It's far too heavy for a man to pull. He then tries to haul it by the trunk. He pulls and strains, but again, the elephant doesn't budge. And then by the tail, the same thing. The elephant is just too heavy. And so finally, the elephant hunter goes to his village and announces that he has killed an elephant and he needs help to drag it to his hut. The villagers listen, and then one of them asks, "Whose elephant is it?" "Mine, of course," replies the hunter. "If it's your elephant," the villager says, "it's your problem. Pull it home yourself." As the villagers begin to leave and return to their homes, the hunter rethinks the problem and announces, "I have killed the elephant for all of us." Well, the villagers stop in their tracks. "An elephant for all of us? Our elephant?" They break into celebration and quickly gather. Enthusiastically, they go to the forest to find the slain elephant. Men, women, children, everybody joins in, determined to drag this elephant back to the village. Even the aged and frail join in the crowd, insisting that if they cannot help drag the elephant, they will cheer on the work. In the forest, gathered around the huge animal, the villagers each grab a piece of the hide, and somebody begins to shout, "One, two, three, whose elephant?" And the villagers reply in unison, "Our elephant," pulling as they do. Again, "One, two, three, whose elephant?" And they shout their reply, "Our elephant," shifting the huge animal a few inches at a time toward the village. And as they near the village, they notice that when someone shouts, "Whose elephant?" the hunter's lips do not quite match the words, "Our elephant." And so one by one, the villagers pause. And when someone again shouts, "Whose elephant?" they listen for the hunter's response. And what a surprise to hear him muttering, "My elephant." And so they leave the elephant right there. And it takes a whole day and night of begging and promising by the hunter that it is our elephant before they return to pull the elephant back toward the village again. African villagers working together as someone shouts, "One, two, three, whose elephant?" And they all respond, "Our elephant," gives a beautiful picture of the church. No single individual can accomplish Christ's great mission alone. It can only be accomplished if we all claim ownership of it and if we all do our part. Last Sunday, as we began this series of sermons, we focused on the stained glass window that depicts the ascension of Jesus. Just before his ascension, Jesus gave his disciples a great mission and a great promise. Christ's mission is still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's printed on inside the trifold in your bulletin. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, over these past several months, our church staff and some of our leaders have prayed and studied and discussed what it will look like when we accomplish Christ's mission. And the picture that emerged was this picture of opening doors with Christ, with one another, and with our neighbors. Well, First Church certainly has a whole lot of doors that go into and out of this building. And a little later in this message, I'll tell you how many we counted. And if you counted and got close, Pastor Dave will give you a door prize. That's bad. There are many other doors too. Doors that open into deeper relationships with Christ, deeper relationships with one another, deeper relationships with our neighbors. Now, last week we saw that accomplishing Christ's mission in this world is not just a human endeavor. Along with the big, big mission, Jesus also gave this big, big promise. Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And for those 10 days between the ascension of Jesus and the day of Pentecost, the disciples waited and they prayed and they studied the scripture, and God was preparing them to receive the Holy Spirit. Following their example, we saw that our first value as a congregation is to discern God's will. And we believe in the power of prayer, God's holy word, and the Holy Spirit to guide us in all that we do. And because we believe this, we are committed to being praying followers, people who faithfully listen and respond to God in prayer each day. Now, today, as we continue this series, we're looking at a second value that's vital to our future. And we see, as we continue on in the story of Acts, that those who are led by the Spirit are called into community with one another. As it says in number one in your notes, we value creating community. Let's read together the statement there in your notes that expresses this value. We believe Christ invites everyone to experience his presence, cultivate relationships, and grow in love, care, and compassion for each other. We accomplish Christ's mission when, like those African villagers, we all claim ownership of it, and we all do our part. And so if someone says, 1, 2, 3, whose mission? Everyone would respond, our mission. 1, 2, 3, whose mission?
Our mission.
Our mission. And here in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, Luke provides a picture of the church as it existed immediately after the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And in verse 44, he makes this remarkable statement. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Just a few verses before this, Luke tells us that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon those who were gathered in Jerusalem, 3,000 people welcomed the gospel message and were baptized. And this is an amazingly diverse crowd. Devout Jews from all over the world who had made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate one of their great feast days. People were there from every race and tribe and nation. They were from cities and villages and the countryside. They spoke many different languages. They came from many different cultures. This claim that Luke is making is startling. All who believed, Judeans, Egyptians, Romans, everybody that was there, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They had all things in common. So what was it that these early converts to the faith have in common? Well, as we answer that question, we discover some things that are essential to you and to me today as we create Christian community. And the first and most important thing is this. All who believed were together in their common devotion to Christ. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now just imagine what those adult education classes look like in the early church. Peter and John and others who had sat at the feet of Jesus, had been taught by Jesus. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were remembering all that Jesus had taught them, and they were passing it on to these 3,000 who were gathered there. And together, every one of them was devoted to learning. Now, I'm very thankful that here at First Church, many of you are involved in Sunday school classes and small groups. And the purpose of being in a small group or a class is not just to deepen your understanding. As we study together, it opens doors into a deeper relationship with Christ. And it provides opportunities, too, for us to deepen our relationships with each other. Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Now often we think of fellowship as checking in with our friends before and after the services, maybe with a cup of coffee and a little coffee cake, and certainly that is important. But Christian fellowship goes deeper than that. And these early converts devoted themselves to fellowship. They ate together, they prayed together, they formed strong bonds of mutual love and affection. Fellowship is what Jesus talked about when he said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them." When we are devoted to one another in fellowship, we experience the presence of Christ. One of the early church fathers pictured the church as a circle, sort of like we did with the children there earlier in the service, with Jesus standing in the center of it. And he said, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, and the closer we get to Jesus, the stronger the bonds are that form between us. And the opposite is true as well, he says, when we turn away from Jesus. When we get focused on so many other things, it divides us. Devotion to Christ is so important because Christ is a unifier. And the Holy Spirit moves to bring us together amid all of our diversity. Now, as we read on, we discover a second thing that is evident in life among these new believers. Number four, all who believed were together in their common experience of the mighty acts of God. Verse 43, all came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. These early converts were in awe because they were witnessing things they had had no prior experience of. They were witnessing the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as they saw the lame walk, the sick healed, the blind given sight, the dead raised, lives being transformed. Now, we may not witness things as dramatic as we read about in the book of Acts. And yet today, the Holy Spirit is still moving. In this world, we hear so much bad news. And we see so much division and hostility of people toward each other. And yet, signs of God's mighty acts are all around us. We lift up prayer concerns from week to week, and we can also testify that our God answers prayer. We celebrate children, youth, and adults in a world of so many alternative things we might be doing with our time, devoting themselves to Bible study and Sunday school and in other ways. We celebrate the thousands of lives that are blessed because of your commitment to Mission Central, Salt and Light, the United Methodist Home for Children, Neighborhood Center, Sierra Leone. The list goes on and on. We ought to be in awe as we consider the presence and power of God that is evident today. One day I was looking at the index in the hymnal and I made a surprising discovery. Do you know that more of our hymns begin with the letter O than with any other word? O come all ye faithful, O for a thousand tongues to sing, O God our help in ages past, O love that will not let me go. The list goes on and on. In fact, there are 52 hymns in our hymnal that begin with that single letter, O. O. One for every Sunday of the year. Say it with me. Oh! We ought to be in awe and looking at God's mighty works and saying, oh! Because all who believed were together in their common experience of the mighty acts of God, and so are we. A third thing that we discover about these new converts is that all who believed were together in their common care for one another. We already read verse 44. All who believed were together and had all things in common. And then Luke says, they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, in a few minutes, we'll be looking at things that we're already doing here at First Church to create Christian community. And it's a very long list. And when we look at that list, we discover the care that people in this congregation show to each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Luke identifies one more thing these early converts have in common. All who believed were together in their common commitment to the well-being of all people. There was not a neighbor they didn't care about. Listen, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. There are many ways to measure the value of things. We can measure the value of a car by how well it performs or how fuel efficient it is. We can measure the value of a house by where it's located or how comfortable it is to live in. We can measure the value of a relationship by the shared experiences that we've had together. And I want to ask you this morning, as we move toward the close of this message, how do you measure the value of a church? Some years ago, our United Methodist Church identified 5 signs that indicate vitality in a congregation. And from week to week, we keep track of numbers related to these vital signs. We count the number of people that we have attending worship. We count the number of people participating in small groups and classes. We count the number of people who have joined by profession of faith. We count the number of people who are participating in missions. We count the amount that has been given to support our mission and ministry. And the numbers we enter are important because they represent people and they represent resources for accomplishing the mission. And we chart our progress and we measure our vitality. And it's interesting that Luke is concerned about numbers too. Over in verse 41, he tells us that on Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized, and that was surely on his year-end report to the conference at Jerusalem. And at the end of this passage, he tells us that day by day, the Lord was adding to their number. He was charting the signs of vitality in the church. But the real value of the church is not measured by numbers alone. Numbers tell a story, but they never tell the whole story. For Luke, as it is for you and me, the real story is found in the quality of community life. It's found in the doors that are opened. Doors that are opened with Christ, with one another, and with our neighbors. So, how many doors does First Church have? Well, this week we gathered a whole team to count the many doors, and we discovered that there are 25 doors on the outside of this building, and 213 doors on the inside of this building. In other words, we have a total of 238 doors in and around this building. Did anybody guess that it was that many? Well, I guess, Dave, you can keep the door prize. Of course, we have many, many more doors than that, don't we? Doors that strengthen our relationships here in this community with Christ and each other and our neighbors. And I create Christian community as part of this church, and so do you, by being a relationship builder. We are committed to expressing love and compassion for others as we engage with the body of believers. Now, I won't take the time or a lot of time to talk about the many ways that we here at First Church are already involved in creating Christian community, but it's a wonderful list expressing who we are as a congregation. And you'll notice, too, on the back of your study guide that there are some further notes about things that we envision doing in the coming year to strengthen Christian community here at First Church. As we close this service, I invite you to picture again those African villagers in the story with which this message began. Picture them each taking ownership of their mission and each doing their part. Someone shouts, 1, 2, 3, whose elephant? And they all respond, our elephant, as they pull the beast closer to the village. Now picture us, together in our devotion to Christ, together in our experience of the mighty acts of God, together in our care for one another, together in our commitment to the well-being of everyone around us, together we value creating Christian community. 1, 2, 3, whose mission?
Ours.
1, 2, 3, whose mission?
Ours.
May it be so. Amen.